Welcome to the Pro Photographer Interview Series, episode number 28. This is Shamira Young with you from Zenjoyable.com. Today we chat with Don Gianetti. He has been a commercial photographer, a musician, a teacher, an author, and a designer. Among the topics we chat about in this episode, we touch on some extremely practical tips about reaching out and making contact with ad agencies, as well as the importance of being persistent and disciplined with periodically contacting your prospect list. Now, before we get to the interview, very quickly, I want to let you know about our Photography Business Essential Bundle. It's 4 weeks of freebies delivered every 7 days to your email inbox, and this is available on our website, Zenjoyable.com. The first thing you'll get is the interactive PDF e-guide titled 12 Common Business Tips and Mistakes Photographers Wish They'd Known Before Going Pro. Now, the information in this ebook was gathered from my own mistakes, of course, but also just in the conversations that I've had with different photographers, including the photographers from our interview series. So, in this PDF e-guide, you're going to get a wealth of information compiled from many different photographers. Now, after this e-guide, every 7 days for 4 weeks, you'll get a new freebie that'll help propel your photography business forward. Head on over to Zenjoyable.com and you'll see that offer on the homepage and also in the sidebars. And like I said, it's totally free. Also, wherever you're listening to the show, be it iTunes, Stitcher Radio, wherever, I ask that you leave us a review. I want to hear what you think. If you think that we're delivering true value to you, then please leave us a 5-star review. Based on your feedback, I will be continually improving the show. All right, let's get to the good stuff. Hi, everybody. I'm hanging with Don Gianetti, photographer and designer. Don, I'm just super excited to have you with us today. Thanks for being on the show.
I'm looking forward to it.
And you know, as I mentioned in our little pre-interview chat, I'm really, really excited to talk about the business of photography with you. You are very, very knowledgeable. I think our listening audience will learn quite a bit, and I will myself as well, so this will be good. First of all, let's learn about you. Give us an overview of yourself, your background, your education, schooling, work experience, all that good stuff.
Okay, well, I studied music in school, music theory and composition, so I write music. I haven't written in a while, but that's what I do. I became a photographer, sort of a roundabout way. I was playing in a band, and I play drums, and everybody would, you know, just be bored during the day. Music is an interesting business. You work 3 hours a day, and the rest of the time you just sit. And hotels really frowned on me bringing my drum set into the hotel room and practice. So I got a camera and started making photographs, and before long it was kind of a passion that took over, and I really enjoyed it. Came back to the States after traveling around in the band and decided I wanted to do something with photography, and kind of lied my way into a job. ended up going from photography quickly to graphic design and then back to photography later in my career. And I've done everything in photography. I don't fly. I don't do any aerials. I don't go underwater photography. I don't do babies or weddings or expecting mothers, and that I don't shoot for consumers. It's always been B2B. Mm-hmm. And for 10 years, at one point in my photography career, I decided I would add my graphic design to it. And that little adding graphic design to my photography business 10 years later was the second largest ad agency in Arizona, billing a little over $6.5 million a year. And we got hit pretty heavy with the dot-com crash. So I went from being a photographer to sitting on the other side of the desk, hiring photographers as creative director of the ad agency. And then from about 2001, when that all crashed and burned, I decided, number one, I didn't like having employees. I like the people, and then sometimes bad things happen and you have to let people go. I decided I'm never going to do that again. So I've just been working for myself and working with the clients I like, and I'm a designer and a photographer. And over the years, I've really learned a lot about media and how people who buy photography think. And I try to help a lot of photographers. I have a thing called Project 52, 52 assignments over the year, 52 critiques, and we are approach it holistically. So not only do they get a photo assignment, sometimes the assignments have layouts that they have to actually shoot to layout. We have them practice bidding. We have them practice making phone calls, introductory letters, putting their promo pieces together and everything. So the goal is we fill in where the old route of assisting for a photographer, which is harder and harder to do, as you know, these days, those days are kind of gone. So we try to fill that in, and it's been very successful. I've launched a lot of very talented, very busy photographers.
Excellent. I'm going to go ahead and make an assumption that your experience as a graphic designer and a photographer kind of go hand in hand and complement each other. Would that be correct?
Yes. I only have to look for half as many clients as either one of my counterparts. I can find a graphic design partner who needs photography, then I got two gigs instead of one.
There you go.
And I enjoy doing that. I used to shoot a lot for ad agencies. I don't shoot for ad agencies anymore. You know, I've been doing it for nearly 40 years, so I'm really at the point where I can pick and choose what I want to do, and I do that.
Before we move on, I have to say, for our listeners, I totally did not plan this on purpose. Don, it's interesting because the last person that we interviewed, Wes Eisenhower, he actually had his start in music as well with a band. And that led him to pick up a camera, and he became a photographer.
Yeah, there are so many. You know, Ansel Adams was a concert-level pianist.
Mm-hmm.
Edward Weston played music. Richard Avedon played music. I mean, so many musicians cross over into photography and back and forth again. It's pretty amazing.
That is interesting. So Don, you mentioned that you mainly work B2B. What are your favorite types of photography gigs to get then?
I kind of run the gamut, you know, for years. I've always said, look, I'm not a famous photographer. I've never been a famous photographer. You know, I've never shot for Life magazine or Vogue. I've been a photographer with my own business for 40 years, not counting the 10 years I was went from photographer, designer to half owner of a giant agency. But I've done this, and I've never had a bank loan, and I've never had a line of credit. Wow. I've done it on cash flow. And I do it because I was kind of a generalist with a specialty in people and still life. And it's still my favorite. But I can shoot food, and I can shoot architecture, and I can shoot a lot of things. I always tell my client, you know, if you're going to hire me for architecture, you really should look at a couple of other guys I know. That's what they get up in the morning loving to shoot architecture. I get up in the morning going, yeah, I can, but it's you know, it's not my specialty. And the shot you're going to get from me will be okay, but it won't be great. And you might want to use great. And sometimes they say, you know what, okay is okay. And I say, well, all right. Okay. But yeah, people in still life are my absolute favorites.
Okay, very cool. And, you know, one thing that you mentioned on one of your videos on your website, this is a quick Shamira paraphrase, but I jotted it down. You said, being a photographer can be a terrible job, but it's an incredible way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Could you expound on that? That was really interesting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as far as a job, there's so many other great jobs to do where you go to work in the morning and you're excited about it. And every Friday you get a paycheck and 401k and two or three weeks of vacation and they pay your medical and everything. In photography, hey, guess what? You don't get that. You don't get any of that. Mm-hmm. And you spend, if you're a graphic designer for another design house, you go to work all day and you know what you get to do? You get to design. That's it. That's all you have to do is design. If you're a freelance graphic designer, you gotta do your billing, you gotta do your marketing, you gotta do all these other things, and then you squeeze the design in and amongst all those other things you have to do. So as a job, freelancing stinks. However, as a career, as a life, freelance means I get to control what I want to do. If I want to take 3 weeks of vacation, I can. I don't have to ask anybody's permission. If I want to go and do this or do that, or if I want to just take Tuesday and do nothing but design and save all the marketing for Friday, I can do that. There's a lot of freedom to it. And a lot of people who freelance cherish that part of it more than the pain of the other part. So that's what I mean about it. And as far as a life, I mean, I have through photography got to meet the number one person on my list of people I would ever want to meet. I got not only to meet him, I got to shake his hand, I got to talk with him, I got to sit and have a meal with him. And so when photography offers you that, that's the coolest thing in the world.
And I'm so glad you make that distinction, because I think especially for a lot of, I don't want to say photographer wannabes, but well, I was one once upon a time. So yeah, coming out of school, for example, I'm not sure if they are quite prepared for the freelance photography way of life. For a lot of them, myself included, years ago, it was a shock when I didn't get to do photography 100% of the time.
Or, yeah.
You know, the creative stuff 100% of the time. And I think a lot of creative people, not just photographers, but graphic designers and even, you know, people who want their art licensed, I mean, they kind of struggle with that whole business aspect of it. But I like how you make the distinction that when you embrace that, you can use it for your advantage, for the kind of freedom that you want. So that is awesome. Yes.
Yeah, you get to choose. And then that's the hardest thing, is when it isn't, is when it is your responsibility to make that choice.
Mm-hmm.
You have to choose wisely.
Right. And I would even go so far as to say sometimes it takes a bit of, for me, it took time to realize I didn't need permission to choose, if that makes sense, because there were so many expectations put on me. You know, I thought I had to do what people expected me to do, but it was a big leap when I became more true to myself, and I'm a work in progress, but it was so freeing to realize that I can choose.
Yes. It's not only freeing, but it's also terrifying.
Sleepless nights. Yes.
Yes. One of the great motivators of freelance, being a freelancer, is of course, abject terror.
Mm-hmm.
So, that'll get you off the couch and making those phone calls.
Oh, we're laying it all out here, people, listeners. Yep. That's so true. Well, Don, tell us, what are some of the most common obstacles that amateur photographers run into when they decide to try to make money off of their talent, especially B2B?
One of the mistakes they make is thinking that their talent really matters.
Mm.
And to most people who are going to hire you, your talent doesn't really matter. What matters is the product that's delivered. So you might be the most talented person on the planet, but if you can't get it done, and we all know people like that. You look at their work and you go, wow, this guy is so talented. Why isn't he making any money? Because he can't deliver. And then you meet other people whose talent isn't all that great, but they really deliver. Let's take a sports metaphor here. Charles Barkley, one of our great basketball players, had no innate talent for basketball. He just wasn't a talented ball player, but he was the first one on the court in the morning for practice. And he was there practicing when they shut the lights off at night. He earned every bit of his ability, every bit. Neil Peart is the first to tell you that he's not a natural drummer. There are drummers out there who can, you know, just, you know, pick up sticks and start to play kind of thing. Neil had to really work at everything he does. And he still works out 6 hours a day on his drum set. So, you know, talent is great. Being able to deliver is even better. I don't care if Charles Barkley has great talent. He plays great ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so thinking your talent has a lot to do with it may not be the best thing to do, because you'll always be disappointed. I think another obstacle is underestimating the amount of work that's involved in being any kind of freelance, self-employed photographer, artist, or any of those types of things. The amount of work is humongous, and it's not a skill that you can actually learn all about. You can't go and take, you know, how to be self-motivated classes. I guess you could in some ways, but you just have to be, and you have to force yourself to be. Every time I talk to a struggling young photographer, I'll say, well, how many calls did you make this week? Well, I haven't. Well, you know, I don't even have to go any further. You know, that's it. If you're not making calls, you're not going to get work. It's really that simple.
So when you say work, you are talking about making calls, really putting your nose to the grindstone, making new contacts, getting your work out there, that other stuff besides photography.
Yes, everything else besides photography. I mean, and then of course you've got to be doing the photography. You've got to be doing self assignments and personal work and keeping the portfolio going and all of those things. I have a couple of little mantras I always throw out for photographers, and one of them is 3 calls a day. Mm-hmm. If you do 3 calls a day, that is 3 touch points. So it could be 2 emails and a phone call, or a phone call, an email, and a returning an email, or something. But you know, getting in front of clients 3 times a day. How hard can that be, Shamira? How hard can that be? Really, if you want to be a photographer, just 3 a day. Right. I'm not saying, okay, 10 hours a day, you've got to sit at the phone and call. 3 a day. That's 15 a week. That's mm-hmm. 60 a month. After 10 months, that's 600. Well, if you know anything about sales, you know that it takes a couple of times for people to understand who you are and what you do. If you do that within 6 months, you will have work. I mean, it's a guarantee. Mm-hmm. Most photographers call up somebody and say, well, I'm a photographer, I'd like to show you my work. And they go, well, you know, we're real happy with the guy we have. I mean, we all hear that. Although we're happy with the guy or the gal we have. Thank you so much. Well, can mm-hmm. I call you again? Oh, yeah, sure. Call me again. Most people will always say, yes, you can call me again. Do you know how many people ever call them back?
Very few.
Like 3 or 4%. Everybody else says, well, they don't need me. No, they didn't need you that day. You're absolutely right, but they may need you next week or the week after, the month after. Now, you don't want to call them every week. That'll piss them off, but you might want to call them, you know, every month or 2 months, get them on your email list, sending them out work. And the other scary thing is sometimes when you do show somebody your portfolio, you don't get the job and you think, well, they didn't like my work. Well, that's a possibility, but probably more of a possibility is they didn't have a job right then. Ad agencies are not like, we need photography every day. Maybe they have 6 clients in-house and 5 of them are commercial work. You know, television commercials, and one client is they need some still photography, but they're not at that point yet. You show your book, they don't hire you that day, and you think, well, they're never going to hire me. No, they didn't need you that day. Hmm. I mean, I've owned an ad agency. We didn't need photographers every day. We probably did a shoot a month, maybe, but we didn't need them every day. And so a lot of people, and they'll show the book once, and then they'll never come back. Yeah, if you want to work with somebody, you work hard to work with them. And you'll get in the door if the work is good. And then, of course, that's, you know, one person's great photography is another person's ooh. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you still have to be right for the job.
So it sounds like it could be a discouragement issue with a lot of people who are trying to get their foot in the door. You make the call, you get turned down, and then you think, oh, my work is not good enough. Is that mm-hmm. the attitude that you see from a lot of younger people, younger photographers?
Yes, absolutely. And not just photographers, but, you know, lots of young artists. You know, they've been praised. I mean, they have, 450 friends on Facebook, so they know they're a great photographer. And some of their pictures were voted up on 500 pics. So, well, you know, what do you need? And they go out and they show the work. And yet they're getting turned down for reasons they don't know. I'm working on a book right now, the title of which is Stop Asking for Permission from People Who Will Never Give It for Reasons You Will Never Know. And that's what most people do. They're looking to be accepted. And then when they get, they're not accepted immediately, they attribute that to reasons they made up, not to the reasons that may actually exist. Like I say, there may not be a job for you that right now. They're not hiring any photographers that week because they have no job. Your job is to get back in there. As a creative director for an ad agency, I used to be on the receiving end of photographer promotions. My ad agency worked a lot with medical technology. I got promotions from car shooters, pretty girl shooters, fashion shooters, food shooters, you know. And, you know, what do you do with that?
Right.
All I can say is, well, you sent me a food promo, which means you know nothing about my agency. You weren't even willing to go to Google, look up the agency and say, oh, they do medical, you know, IP. There's some examples of the brochures and the websites they build. Maybe pictures of asparagus. It may not work for them.
They didn't do their homework. Yeah.
No. And so, you know, they wasted money. They just wasted, you know, whatever it cost, 50 cents to or a buck to print the card and put it in the envelope and put a stamp on it, send it to me. They just wasted money. I don't need that kind of work. And the people who sent me work that was appropriate, we would always get them into the queue and always make that work available to the art directors below that worked for me and also our clients. So,
and you know, that really leads us to our next question then. What have you found to be the most effective techniques for getting I guess, our feet in the door with new clients and assignments. You kind of touched on doing your homework. Are there other things that can help as well?
Well, it is a homework. It is one of the driest, most unexciting part of it is going down to Barnes & Noble and taking iPhone snaps of the masthead pages of magazines and then trying to figure out what the email address is. Because, you know, you generally figure out. The art director's Sally Jones, and they work at, say, Cuisine Magazine. Well, I'm going to try S. Jones at Cuisine Magazine, Sally Jones at Cuisine Magazine, Sally.Jones at Cuisine Magazine. Probably going to get through with one of them. And, you know, you'll find out because it'll get returned. No such address. And then all of a sudden, boom, you get an out of office something. And the email I would send out would be something like, I love your magazine. I would love to work for you. I'm a photographer. May I send you some of my work email? Generally, they'll say yes if they even answer at all. Now you can start to market to them. It's the number one thing to get your foot in the door is to work at it. The doors don't open easy. They don't. I told you a minute ago I had a couple of mantras. The other one I do, and I just posted it was my newsletter topic this past Sunday, as I call it, take every job. And I tell young photographers, take every job for a time period that you've predetermined. So when you're ready, and you can't start this until you're ready. Ready means you've got your portfolio, you've got your website, you've got your marketing materials, you have a MailChimp account or contact or whatever you're going to use to send out your emails, and you've got a list that's got more than 200 names on it. If you don't have that, you're not ready. But if you're ready, then you say, okay, this is November 1st. For the next 6 months, I'm taking every job. The caveat number one is you can't be taken advantage of. Taking every job means there's something in it for you. So when my friend called me out of the blue one day and said, would you come take pictures of a celebrity for us? I was like, no, I don't do celebrities. I don't care. And just before he hung up, I said, well, who is it? He said, well, it's Muhammad Ali. And I'm like, well, how much do I have to pay to photograph him? Because money is not an object. What do you want from me? I'm there. I'm there yesterday. I'll be there. How long do you need me? A week? I'll be on my own dime, you know? So there was something in that for me personally. And, you know, yeah, it's a picture of Muhammad Ali. I mean, if it's, you know, somebody, well, I wouldn't shoot Madonna for a PR firm unless they paid me. Well, then you're an idiot. Because you got a picture of Madonna in your book. That's worth more. I mean, what would it cost you to hire Madonna to be in your book? Right. I mean, weigh that out, right? But you don't get taken advantage of. Your brother-in-law owns a company that makes sink stoppers, you know, rubber sink stoppers. And he goes, hey, I know you like to take photographs. Want to shoot our catalog? No. Absolutely nothing in it for you. You're going to slave over shooting white stoppers on white seamless, which is a pain in the rear, and you're never going to put one in your book. So no. And the other thing is you don't do it when other people are being paid and now they look at you and say, well, we'll get you for free. You don't do that. But I hear a lot of complaints about photographers about local magazines. Well, they don't pay very much. Okay, that's reality. They don't pay very much. They don't pay you very much. They don't pay that other guy over there. They don't pay her very much. That's life. Do the job. Do the gig. Because if you can't prove to me at some point you can do the gig, I don't want to hire you. I'm not going to hire you for a big shoot based on the fact that you've turned down all those other ones because, quote, they didn't pay enough. And you know for certain you can handle it because the simplest little $300 magazine shot you're going to shoot a dentist for Dentist of the Year, you have no idea what that job is going to entail until you get out there and do it. And when you do it like they're paying you 10 grand. Do whatever you need to do to deliver to them a shot that they go, oh my God, this is awesome. You know, wow. Because you did it not only for them, but you did it for yourself. And you put $300 in the bank, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and then at the end of 6 months, you won't have to worry about the 6 months coming to an end because you'll be busy. Everybody likes busy. You will be busy because you're working. The more you work, the more other people know you're working. The more other people know you're working, the more you are going to get hired.
So you mentioned, I like how you touched on that the money piece, because a lot of younger photographers, it can be frustrating when you are taking on jobs for free or there's not a lot of money involved. And the hard part is a lot of younger photographers, like, we're starving for money. I don't want to say starving artist, you know, but money can be tight for a lot of people. So how do you have that money conversation with clients? Do you just let them bring it up? And then when you don't have a lot of experience, take what they offer as long as there's something else in it for you, or do you come back and negotiate? How do you handle that?
In some cases, yes, you have to know the business. Magazines rarely negotiate. Magazines have a fixed budget. So each month, the art director has, say he has $2,000 for art. So if he's going to pay you $500, he's only got $1,500 left for the other assignments. And he might need to hire an illustrator and something else. So they only have X amount of dollars. They don't have this giant pot of money they can go and grab. So knowing how they work makes it simpler for you to understand. If they offer you $300, you're probably not going to talk them into a grand. It ain't going to happen. Right. They don't have it. And if you don't do it, they'll have to find someone else to do it. That's life. You, the individual, new, starting out photographer, are not going to, quote, school them, unquote, on what it costs to do business. So what you do is you have to look at it and say, is this worth it for me? In most cases, when you're first starting out, it is, because you can turn it down and say, well, you know, I wanted $800 and they were only going to pay me three. You can say that, but now you don't have three or eight, and somebody else has the tear sheet. So I don't know where the win is. Now, if they normally pay $1,000 and they're going, well, we normally pay $1,000, but since you're new, we only want to pay you $200, okay, well, that goes to caveat A, you're being taken advantage of. Because if you're good enough to hire, you're good enough to pay. Young photographers always think, well, I'm not really there yet as a photographer, so I shouldn't charge the rates that other photographers do. My thing is, why? Because it doesn't matter to the end use. That ad, if it's good enough to put in an ad in the magazine, it's good enough to pay you the rate. End of story. So you have to play that. You just have to work that through on your own. If you're happy with the money that you're going to make, take the job and get it done. By the time, like I say, you get to end of 6 months, or if you're in a small town, you might have to make that a year. By the time you're at the end of a year, first of all, you're going to have 30 or 40 negotiating and bidding practices under your belt. You're going to know a whole lot more about the industry. You're also going to know when someone says, hey, we need a shot of the dentist for dentist of the year, and we pay $300 and it'll only take you 20 minutes. You know, it's going to take 20 minutes. You're out of your mind if you think it's going to take 20 minutes. So then you can say, okay, it's going to take 2 hours. Do I want to do this for $200? Or can I say, okay, well, I can do it for $200, but I can get you a better shot if we do it for $350 or something. But you have to make those decisions. There's no list anywhere that tells you how much you have to charge. And, you know, a headshot for a model. Shamiri, do you shoot models, people?
I shoot people, but at this time, not models.
Okay. So if let's say a model came to you for a headshot. Mm-hmm. So you did the headshot. Take you what, about 2.5 hours?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, about makeup and hair, and right. You do a few, 2.5 hours. And what's a model pay generally for a headshot? $150, $250, somewhere in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Maybelline calls, and they're going to do a national ad.
Ooh.
How long is it going to take you? About 2.5 hours.
right.
The makeup and hair. You're going to do the same shot. It's a headshot. It's a beautiful headshot of this young lady, and now they're going to put it in 47 magazines full page. Good. I don't think you're going to charge them $250.
No, because that thing is national. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you're probably going to be in the neighborhood of $35,000 to $50,000.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter what the shot is anymore, does it? It really matters what the use is.
Right.
And that's what you have to, that's what young photographers have to understand, is so difficult to negotiate through that maze of all the different moving parts.
Absolutely. Don, I could have used you like 8 years ago, your advice. Saved myself so much headache. You know, I really like how you pointed out that magazines rarely negotiate. That's absolutely true. I used to work at a magazine, and it was in the art creative department. And I remember we used to get tons of photographers who would submit their work. And we had a set standard of what we would pay. And if someone tried to come in and, you know, say, oh, I want double the rate, or I want even $150 or $200 more than what you pay, then it was easy for us to say, oh, you know, no, no thanks. We'll just go on to the next person.
Yeah.
And you know, it was very interesting. This leads me to the next question then. How do we make ourselves stand out from the competition? Because there are photographers everywhere.
Yes, there are. I'm going to talk about three little things that you can do that set you apart from the competition that have nothing at all to do with photography. Number one, answer your phone. Call people back when you say you will. That's like number one. I hear it from ad art directors. I hear it from consumers. I hear it from everybody. I called. No one called me back. Number two, be consistent. If a photographer, there are levels in photography. Just I live in Arizona, so we have mesas here. We have these different mesas that are higher, and I always think when I think of photography, I think of those mesas. There's levels. When you first start out in photography, you may not have the money to hire somebody to do a logo and a brand and all that kind of stuff. You just may not have it, and so you end up doing it yourself. Mm-hmm. If you do it yourself, you must, absolutely must, capital M, must, find somebody who is a graphic design person, someone skilled in it, to look it over before you launch it. Because if you launch your B2B website and it just is ugly, you're in trouble. We are photographers. Our life is built around the business of making things look good. And if we can't make our own thing look good, then maybe we don't know what looking good means. You have to be ready for that. And the other, and then the consistency of competition. I mean, the promotion, the consistency of promotion. If you do your three, Photo Shelter ran a, I have ADD. Can you tell?
I love it. It's working.
Just like my brain goes, pop over here, pop over here.
This is awesome. I'm writing as fast as I can right now. Keep it coming.
Photo Shelter did a survey of photographers who market, and came to find out that less than 20% of the photographers surveyed marketed more than an hour a week.
Wow.
Now, if we take that and think about the rule of 80-20, where 20% of any given business makes 80% of the money, I'm wondering how that correlates. So let's see, 20% of the business makes 80% of the money, and 20% of photographers market more than an hour a week. Those two numbers are strikingly similar. And if you want to stand out, be consistent. Send work out consistently. Send work out that makes sense. And do that, research, so that you know when you're sending something out, it's dead on for that company that you're sending it out to. If you want to shoot for Modern Farmer magazine, which I would love to personally, go and grab a couple issues of Modern Farmer and look at their work. Look at what's there, and then look at your work. Because if you're shooting, you know, half-naked girls for Model Mayhem, you may not be a good mix. And then if you do it, they'll never say yes. They'll take you off the list. You're done. So
true.
Yep.
Awesome. And did I miss your third point? I have one and two written down.
The third one is being consistent time-wise. Doing the work and getting out there, because most photographers do not.
Okay.
I know more photographers than I can count right now. And the photographers who are actively marketing, I could probably count on my hands.
Wow.
And that's really, it's really sad. When I talk to somebody and I see the talent and I see the work and I see the work ethic is there, but they will not market. They just, it scares them, scares the ever loving crap out of them. Then they're never going to do it. And you can't, there is no other way. It's a funnel. There is no other way. Everything at the top still has to go through that tiny little funnel that says marketing. Phone calls, emails, research, constantly. Young photographer up in, I can't think of the name, a Canadian, big Canadian town, not Toronto, the other one. How's that for brain? Just sort of like losing it. starts with an M. Anyway, he's up in that other Canadian town, and he started out shooting headshots. Mm-hmm. And he was all right at it. You know, he's fine. But there's thousands of headshot shooters in Montreal. He got called to do a architectural shot. And he thought, well, you know, I like to shoot buildings. So he went and did it. He did a pretty good job of it. He then, over a period of a year, transitioned from headshots to architecture. And within a three-month time, he developed a list of 2,000 names of architects, what? Interior design. Yes. And I said, well, how did you do this? He said, 4 hours a day.
Wow.
4 hours a day, 6 days a week. He would go to the library. He'd go to the bookstore. He would do whatever it took to put names. And if he, you know, he was going for 25 names a day, 30 names a day. And he got that list. He went from being a brand new guy on the street. And last week, he just got back from shooting in Italy for a week for an architecture firm. He unpacks. He gets ready. Then he goes to Toronto to shoot for 10 days. Make a long story short, he's booked through January.
Wow.
And because he markets. He's very good at what he does. But between you and me and him, and I've said this to him, you're very good at what you do. But at the same time, there's 50 guys in Toronto that can do what you do. Mm-hmm. And he laughs and he goes, yeah, but they don't know about him. Yep. That's the way it works.
So as far as getting the word out about how awesome we are, that's my next question. I like how you kind of transition to it. So getting the word out, I guess, take us through a logical progression of steps. With step one, it's sounding like your friend from Montreal, he made a list. He did research.
Yes. Yes.
Made a list.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We hear a lot about social media. You know, my Facebook page always gets these things, you know, start your photography business on Facebook. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go with no on that because my clients, B2B clients, they're not on Facebook. I do have a friend on Facebook. She does boudoir photography. She runs her entire business off her Facebook page. That's the only place she gets out because that network of gals who like boudoir photography and her network, she went from something like 3,000 likes on her page to something like 11,000 likes on her page. And she can pull from those people and she makes a very nice living at it. We're B2B. Art directors aren't hanging out on Facebook looking for photographers. They're not. Mm-hmm. They're not on Flickr. They're not on 500 Pics. They're not on Yahoo forums. They're on Tumblr and they're on Instagram and they're on Behance. And that's where y'all need to be. I want to be where art directors are. I don't want to hang out with a bunch of other photographers. I mean, I like it. It's fun and everything. But you know, you go over to G+, and it's like being in a room full of photographers holding prints up going, look at mine. No, look at mine. Please, look at mine. Mm-hmm. I want to go where art directors are going, wow, I'm looking for some new talent for something coming up. We're just kind of looking and seeing what's out there. Yeah, that's where I want to be. And that's Instagram, Tumblr, Behance, and LinkedIn. And the rest of them, do whatever you want. You know, when I hear about photographers should Twitter. Yeah. No. you can if you want. I do. I have a great following on Twitter. I have a blast on Twitter, but I'm not doing it with any expectations at all of getting work. And I don't market on Twitter at all.
Interesting.
Yeah. Our directors aren't looking for photographers on Twitter. They're looking just to have fun like I am.
So you find out where they are, find out what kind of work they're looking for,
mm-hmm.
and then you actually take action to get in touch with them, be it phone or email.
Then they're on your list.
Okay.
Then they're on your list. In Project 52, we have a business month where we do a Saturday call every month, Saturday for a month, and we go through this whole plan where I take them from, okay, here's a magazine, and within 5 minutes of that magazine, I have made friends with the art director on LinkedIn. It's just a matter of a process. And you go through it and you go through it and you go through it. And same thing with finding out where your or what your clients' names are or finding out who's shooting what. There's a restaurant here in town named Macayo's. They've got some great Mexican food. I'd love to shoot for Macayo's. Well, there's a method for finding out who the ad agency is that handles Macayo's. You find out that ad agency, and then you send them shots of, I'm thinking tacos. I'm thinking burrito. I'm not thinking cars or, you know, fashion. Because they don't do cars or fashion. I want to shoot for Macayo's. So you find out these people, and you go after them. You target them. You don't need 2,000 names. You need, if you're in a big city, you need 500 or 600. If you're in a smaller town, you need 700, maybe 800. And then you just market and market and market. And you market to them until they send you a cease and desist letter saying, if you ever send us an email again, we'll hunt you down. And then you send them one more saying, are you sure?
Absolutely. That's absolutely awesome. That's awesome. Yep. So you keep in, you don't just get in touch with them one time, and then if they turn you down, get discouraged and say, oh, well, they must not like my work or what have you. You consistently stay in touch with them without being, you know, hassling to them.
Yes. Once every quarter is not often enough. Once every month is too often. So somewhere in there, you know, once every quarter could be okay. If it's somebody way out of town, let's say you live in Springfield and you're marketing, you would really like to work for Modern Farmer magazine. Well, they only print every other month. So yeah, once a quarter, that would be great. You know, once a quarter. And then you don't give up until they, like I say, they send you a note saying, you know, we're never going to hire you, because they may never hire you. But it's just like the lottery. Do you play the lottery?
No, I don't.
I do. I buy one ticket a week because,
oh my goodness,
the chances of me winning the lottery are like being hit by lightning, what, twice in the same day while wearing the same shirt or something outrageous. However, if I don't buy that one ticket, the chances of me winning are absolutely zero. Absolutely zero. So stay in the game. They may never hire you, but if you stop sending them, they will never hire you. We can put that in the absolute column. And I'd rather be in the, what was that joke the guy says to the girl? He says, well, would you ever go out with me? And she goes, he says, do I stand a chance to you and with you? And she says, yeah, one in a million. He says, so there is a chance.
Have you been struck by lightning, Don?
Yep. So yeah, I buy one ticket a week and I send stuff out to places I would like to work for. Absolutely.
So by keeping in touch with them, you do mean actually sending a relevant sample of your work to them.
A touch point is an email with an image, a phone call to the art director, which would be great. I mean, if the art director says, call me, fantastic. Or a LinkedIn, something where, like, let's say the art director has a question, they're polling on their LinkedIn page, and you pop in and put in something, you know, brilliant, obviously, on that form. That's a touch point. So phone calls, any time that they see your name with them, you're contacting them. It's a one-on-one type thing. That's a touch point. And it might take three or four emails, and it might take another phone call and a web walkthrough and something else. So working for Modern Farmer might be something, if you started today, it might happen 2 years from now. But if you don't start today, it won't happen 2 years from now. Well, like I say, we go back into that category of is never going to happen. So
absolutely. Wow. So what's the most common mistake you're seeing photographers make right now who are trying to break into that area?
Inconsistency. It's like number one, inconsistency. My friend David in Montreal, he sends his emails out. He breaks everything down into 500 emails, and every week, 500 emails go out to that group. So that way, it takes a month to get to the next email. So they get something every month from David, unless they've said that's too often, and then he takes them down. But in architecture, that world, you know, it changes so drastically and dramatically that he just stays on top of it. And, you know, he's surprised. My friend James in Florida wrote a big Facebook post about a month ago on the Facebook group that I host. And he said, you know, Don told me to do this 3 years ago. I never did it. He says, but things have been so slow at the studio that I went back to the workbook. I pulled it out and I followed it note for note. He sent out three emails on a Tuesday, Friday, he was shooting full day.
Wow.
Well, one of the clients, he did it. And since then, he has constantly stayed with his three contacts a day, constantly stayed with that push marketing and building that list. And this was maybe 2 months ago, he posted it up. And he's working all month. He's doing one job for a client shooting vintage record album covers, like 400 vintage record album covers that have to be photographed and then retouched.
Mm.
Now, that's not a real exciting job, is it?
Well, it's a job, you know. I guess it depends on the person.
Pays a lot of money.
Oh, does it really?
And that's what you need so that you can go out and do the jobs that you want to do.
Awesome.
So.
Awesome, awesome. And you know, real quick, because I know... I feel like we could probably, I would love to chat for like another couple hours. but real quick, could you touch on like additional streams of income, how realistic that is as photographers, kind of having a backup source of money come in?
I think that's the wave of the future.
Hmm.
I really, really do. Now, we're seeing it in obvious ways where some photographers are going out and starting to do video on their DSLRs. We've seen that. I would, and myself, I'm a graphic designer. I'm getting ready to do a class on building websites for photographers, not photographer websites, but so photographers can build websites for their clients.
Oh.
Let's say you're a photographer in a small town and you're doing B2B and, you know, business is slow. What if you could also say to that client, not only can I shoot your widgets, sir, but I can also build a website for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need some design skills, and we're going to walk through some design skills. You need to know how to use WordPress,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to walk through that, and we're going to say, look, this is something you can do. You should also, every photographer should also have prints for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you sell them or not is not important. What's important is that you have prints for sale because it's a credibility builder. And there's always the chance you'll sell one. Just one of my Facebook friends just is like, oh my God, I just got a sale. And one of my, no, it's Project 52 guys. He posted some pictures from Italy and he had a Italian marketing company wants to buy his image. They're going to pay him $1,200 for it.
Oh, that's a great feeling.
Yeah. It's, and he's like, oh my gosh, this would never have happened if I didn't put, I think he's like an Etsy store or something like that.
Okay.
So they should be doing that. I think photographers should learn to write. In matter of fact, I love workshops, Shamira. I love them. If I had the time and money, I'd take workshops all the time. I love workshops. I think you get to immerse yourself in it. But surprisingly, I tell other photographers, I'm not going to tell you to take a bunch of photography workshops. I mean, they're always good for you. Take a writing workshop. Take a painting workshop. Take a set building workshop. Do something else. I think photographers learn to write. Look at what happened in the newspaper industry. They fired all the photographers and gave the writers cameras, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, couldn't they have fired some writers and given the photographers a pencil?
Right. If the photographers can write.
If the photographer can write, yep. You can create your own content. You could be doing stories on Iceland and then selling those stories to magazines. Now mm-hmm. you get the writer's fee and the photography fee. So you must stretch out and find other ways. I know a lot of people make fun of teaching. I don't make fun of teaching because I think that most people who want to learn photography just want to learn how to take better pictures of their kids or vacation shots. They're not wanting to be pros. They just want to take better pictures. Okay, well, if you're a really good photographer, really good landscape photographer, why don't you show them how to take better pictures?
Mm.
And any knowledge is worth something. I bristle sometimes when I see those, we're going to teach you the top 10 secrets of the pros. Well, first of all... There aren't any secrets. Anyone who's telling you are is lying to you or want to sell you something. There are no secrets. It's easy to be a pro if you do it right. Well, number one, it's never easy to be a pro. And number two, there's no right. If there was a right, we could package it and sell it. There is no right.
Mm-hmm.
How you came to photography is not how I came to photography. How you and I do things are not the same. Your path is not my path, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there are some of those touch points that we can all agree on, and that's what needs to be learned. But yeah, you got to find another column, you know, to start adding to.
Yeah, definitely. When I was at the magazine, it all went hand in hand. I mean, if photographers who submitted images with the story, they were definitely given more attention. mm-hmm. than just photos that came in by themselves, mm-hmm. for sure. And I see that out there online as well, where different magazines or agencies where they want, I should say magazines more so that I've seen personally, where they want a story. They want text as well to tell the story of those photos.
And sometimes sometimes what you do is you pitch the story. They may assign us a writer. Mm-hmm. But if you know how to write and pitch a story, how to craft four paragraphs that makes them excited about wine distilling in Northern Nevada, and now you've got four cool shots to go with it, there may be a chance to go, you know what? We've got a writer who loves to write about wine. We're going to assign, you know, Mary to this thing, and you're going to do the photography.
There you go.
You just got an assignment, you know, and like I said before, you don't know. You can't win if you don't play. You can't win if you don't send the letters and the photographs. You just can't. And too many young photographers, not age-wise, but young to the business, mm-hmm. Jump in and don't do that part of it because they think, well, if I have really great photographs, if I have high talent, they'll find me. No, they won't. They're busy doing other things.
Exactly.
And reading email from people who are who are marketing to them.
Who are actually contacting them. Imagine that.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So what's one thing you wish you knew before you went into photography professionally, Don?
Wow.
I know it's a hard one.
Yeah. We all would have, I think, liked to know how it was going to end up. And that's something that's never clear to us. I wish I had worked with photographers that weren't so fashion oriented when I first started out, because for 10 years I shot fashion and I really, you know, I loved shooting fashion, but I really didn't love fashion. And I've since come to understand if you don't love fashion as fashion, you're never going to be a great fashion photographer. Mm-hmm. If you talk to car photographers about, you know, a 1966 Cobra, right? They know exactly what you're talking about. They can describe tail lights to you. Their passion is cars, right? Mm-hmm. If you talk to a fashion photographer and you mention another fashion photographer's name or a designer, and they go, "I don't know who that is." Well, then you just want to hang out with pretty girls. Nothing wrong with that. I'm down with that. I can
tell it like it is.
Yep, but you're not a fashion shooter. A fashion shooter would know exactly who that designer name is, you know, and also be able to describe her line last year and what makes this line this year different. They know. When you hang out with real fashion photographers, they know. And that's the difference.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. We're getting towards the end of our interview, which makes me sad, actually, because you're just giving so much awesome information. It's going to be really useful, for our listeners.
Oh, good.
A second to last question. Is there a particular photography resource, online course, a book, a tool that you would recommend to our listeners today?
You know, I don't know if there's a single place. There's a lot of great places. Today, right now, Dave Cross is doing a wonderful advanced Photoshop on Creative Live. Mm. And Dave really knows his stuff. I think you have to be more discerning than most people are to find those places. There's a lot of books out there. I don't really have any one thing mm-hmm. that I would recommend people go to. As a matter of fact, I think I would flip it and say, read as much as you can. Do as much as you can. Find as much as you can. Find out from others how it worked for them. Before you go and spend a lot of money on something, find out if other people have experienced it and it's done well for them. And go from there.
Awesome. Our last, but one of our most important questions, tell us where we can find you as far as your website or any products you want to mention that you have out there.
Well, my website for me and my visual media consulting firm is dongiannetti.com. That's dongiannetti.com. My photography website is dongiannettiphotography.com. I'm WizWow on most social media, Instagram, you know, all of those things. And you can find my writing at lighting-essentials.com, lighting-essentials.com, where there's articles every week. You can tell by the name, we used to talk about, you know, lighting and everything. And I find that there's lots and lots of places to talk about that. So we do as well, but we really focus on the emerging commercial professional, where we talk about everything from business to motivation to philosophy, cool books, that type of thing. We're not doing a whole lot of here's where you put your flash to do a portrait. We like to feature photographers that are not so famous. You can get enough of, I won't mention names, but there are some people out there that are online superstars, and you can get enough of them anywhere. But finding some of the people that we feature, a little bit harder. I champion the little guy, always have. Some amazing photographers out there that don't have 10,000 Facebook friends, but that doesn't make they're not amazing photographers. So
awesome. Thank you so much for chatting with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. I very much enjoyed it. Very good questions.